Hey, you guys, welcome back. I'm Aaron, and I'm blessed to be a pastor. I'm more blessed to be a son of the Most High God. So blessed to be married to Kathy and a daddy to 11 amazing people, granddaddy to 4 amazing people. I'm so fortunate to be in relationship. And I gotta tell you, at this point right now, I am really, really hurting. I just keep thinking of the people who are living and suffering and dying alone. And I pray in Jesus' name that those people aren't alone, that they would be with Christ. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that people are telling the good news of Jesus more and more. We got together last week to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to celebrate the good news that Jesus laid down his life for us and didn't stay dead. And that means we have so much hope, and that always amps me up. But I am hurting. I'm just thinking of all kinds of different things. And just this world is so different now. And yet God isn't. He's so good. So I'm gonna pray with you. We're gonna get started on a new series. And I'm gonna try not to take too long, but I know that for some of you, you look forward to these times. I look forward to being together. And I know we can't hug right now, and I know we can't see each other face to face, but we can see each other like this, and we can connect. Please remember to reach out to people. Please remember to connect with people. Please pray for those people first and then connect with them. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. We have so much ahead of us. We thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time that you and I have had together before I got together with these folks right here. God, thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you for your word and how it lasts forever and how it changes everything. So would you help us to make much of you? Would you help us to understand you? Would you help us to share you? God, thank you for the good news. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to pray one more time. God, I want to also thank you so much for the people who are struggling. I thank you that they have a chance to rely on you and to rely on people. But it's not just material blessing that's going to bless people. It's you and your spirit and your presence. I ask for more and more people to come to you and understand that no matter what, you are God, and you are with them, and you love them. May they live for you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I'm back. Now, hey, we're going to get started on this series, and it's a wonderful series. I'm really excited about it. It's the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul wrote it, and we learned at the end of Acts just so much about Paul. Well, in Acts 18, he was at a church in Corinth, and it was a good church, but it was a mess. Just like America, and just like our church, good church, but it's a mess. Corinth was a port city. It was a major port city in ancient Rome. It's where East met West, and there was so much commerce there, and there was so much money, and there was so much influence, and there was so much nastiness. They had so many temples there, temples to Roman gods, to Greek gods. And there was a lot of really, really nasty worship that went on there. One of those things that happened is that there was temple prostitution, and those prostitutes were priests and priestesses. And they were actually saying, this is how you worship these gods. And there was a lot of that that went on. Next week, by the way, heads up, mom and dad, we're going to talk about sex. And so I encourage you to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 5 through 7, and look into that. We're going to be teaching off of that. We're going to be teaching about what God says about sex. It's not going to be nasty. It's not going to be graphic, but it's going to be straightforward and truthful. I would love for your kids to hear about it, but you may want them to be in another room, and that's your decision. I want to give you that heads up right now. So with that, I want to tell you a little bit more about Corinth. Corinth was a church that Paul, the Apostle Paul, loved, even though it drove him nuts. Even though they were a mess. And so with that, I want to tell you that what we're looking at is that even if things are a mess, even if things are falling apart like we can see in our world right now, and even if churches don't look so much different than the world, we get to love like Jesus. Even if, love like Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the next 4 weeks. I also want to share with you that sacrificial love lives forever, even though to sacrifice really is to lay down your life. even die. And we know that Jesus lives forever, and in Jesus we do too. So with that, let's start. We're going to 1 Corinthians. I'll go to 1 Corinthians 1:1-4. And if you want to know more about the church in Corinth, you can go to Acts 18. There's a whole lot there. There's a sweet parallel there. And we did go through that a little bit. But here's 1 Corinthians 1:1-4. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and a brother Sosthenes. I'll tell you this about Sosthenes. I think that he was a guy that got beat up in Acts 18. And I think that he's a guy that used to be a synagogue ruler. And I think that he came to Jesus. I think that's rad. I may be wrong. That may have been a popular name. That may have been Jim back in that time. I don't know. But Sosthenes, he was right there with him. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, this is how it starts out, and I want to unpack this for you a little bit. The grace of God, the church of God, called by Jesus, this whole thing unpacks for us a really, really wonderful and a really, really important topic. If you are in Jesus, he called you. If you are in Jesus, you have brothers and sisters all over the world, and we're unified in his name. Look, Corinth had a lot of problems, and we're going to unpack those. Divisions, sex, what they did when they got together was a mess at times. They had problems. But they had the best solution possible. Jesus. What unified them was greater than whatever could divide them. And we're going to unpack how they were divided. But I want to let you know, and I have some notes so I can actually pay attention and give you guys some ideas here. But the helpful thing for you and I to watch all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians and to watch in our own lives is the way Paul consistently relates the kingdom of God, the authority of Jesus Christ, and that he relates all that to their central problem. And that's that they were looking not to Jesus, but they're looking to people. They were looking at things, they were looking at feelings, they were looking to anything but Jesus. And I know that's a problem for us, and I beg you to repent of that. If that's an issue for you, repent of that. Come to Christ. All right, so Jesus Christ is all about him, and you're gonna see that all the way through here. But again, I wanna unpack this for you. He says, look, let me give you your identity. Let me tell you who you are in the beginning of this letter. You're the church of God that's in Corinth. You're the church of God that's in Sultan. You're the church of God that's in Bellevue. You're the church of God that's all over the world. And you're called to be saints together. Our unity. We're the family of believers. We're brothers and we're sisters. Look, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul says it just like this. He talks about your identity, but then in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he breaks down what it's all about. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wasn't trying to be all amazing with his wisdom. He wasn't trying to be all amazing with his words. He wanted the power to be all Jesus. Him crucified. Later on in 1 Corinthians 15, you get the greatest breakdown of the resurrection. And we'll be talking about the resurrection all the way through, because remember, sacrificial love lives forever. So he rose. And I want to say to you that for us, if we are members in Christ Jesus, we have died with him, we're alive in him, and we're being sanctified. That means being made holy, being set apart. Listen to this. When you apply sanctification either to persons or things, the word sanctified indicates their consecration. That means that they're dedicated. They're included in the inner circle of what is holy because of their association in some way with God. Sanctification is a process of which holiness is the completed state. It's from a guy named David Prime. What a great thing. Sanctified. I want to put that there. You guys do what you want with it. But sanctified people of Jesus Christ are all over the world, and we're called by him and for him. And that's what Paul's really reminding them. It's about Jesus. So keep your eyes focused there. I invite you to do the same. So look, I want to unpack a few main themes of what we're going to be looking at in 1 Corinthians. And then I also want to unpack for you guys some desired outcomes. Okay, so main themes, really quick. Being shaped by the love of Jesus in every part of life, all of our life. That self-sacrificial love for all people means that loving people will come with a cost. And a lot of times that cost is significant. A lot of times that cost is to comfort zone and to ease. And we'll talk more about that all the way through here. But look for that theme in here. Sacrificial love for all people. The unity of the church. Churches are divided for so many reasons. And we're going to unpack some of those today. And definitely throughout the rest of these weeks. Also, new life matters. Listen to that. It matters. The resurrection informs and empowers our decisions and our behaviors. And you'll see that that's what Paul calls all these called ones, these little Christs, to remember in difficult times. All right. And then I want to let you know, there's desired outcomes. We want to, we're praying for, we want to see these things in us. We want to see these things in all the people who listen, all the people who call Christ King. First, an increase in unity within an already divided church. You see that in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, but you see that here as well. We desperately need to be united in Jesus. We want to see an honoring God and others with our sexual expression. Again, a heads up, a warning for you. Next week, we're going to talk more about this in detail. Not graphic, nasty detail, but we are going to talk about sexual purity, sexual holiness, integrity, honoring God. And so we want to talk about flipping the script, and this is a desired outcome for us, flipping the script on sexuality, that it's actually for others, not just for you. Not just for how you feel or how you want to express yourself, but for God and for others. And then we're going to look at prioritizing loving others over loving our own freedom. And that happens a ton, right? We really, really like our freedom. And we cling to it. See how many people are arguing and fighting over what they're going to do because they deserve to be free. I love freedom, but in your freedom, honor God. We want to see that. Prioritizing loving God and loving others. And then the final two things, security in the view of your resources. You've been given so much, but you don't actually lose anything if you give it all away. You're more blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So there's this thing called a scarcity mindset. And I want to encourage you that we're going to be looking at that as a desired outcome, that we would get away from a scarcity mindset. I don't have this. I can't afford that. And then finally, practicing the love of Christ in your relationships. These are desired outcomes from being unified in Christ, loving like him. And I ask you to really look into that. And I think Josh probably going to put this up here and you can see it. All right. So with that, I want to get back to this idea of that your life is not just for you. And how about wisdom? Wisdom, living life skillfully. We love wisdom. We want wisdom. We pursue wisdom. Sometimes we get to define what wise is, but I'd say let's look at what God says is wise. And so this morning, for the remainder of our time, we're going to look at how wisdom is not just for you. It's not just for you to make money off of. It's not just for you to look wise, to be puffed up, to be strong in your wisdom. It's actually to help others. And so in that, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 1. And we're going to go to 10 through 13. And we're going to look at how, gratefully, Paul didn't just love these people in Corinth and tell them how amazing they were. He loved them enough to tell them what their problem was and how they needed to change it. And I think this is really timely for us as well. So it's 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. This sounds like me talking to my youngest kids. I appeal to you, brother and sister, be good to each other. Agree with one another. Be of the same mind and judgment. Judging yourself first, right? Like, what am I doing? What am I trying to do? But Paul says, I appeal to you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, reminding them that their identity is in Jesus first, not in themselves and not in their own rights. And so he continues on, verse 11. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul asks. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He just lays it out. It's not actually about me. It's not about individuals. It's about Jesus. And is Jesus divided? Isn't his body one body? Look, so often we long to have people that we think are amazing. And we talk about this, and there's people who are like, look, I want to go to this preacher, I want to go to that preacher, I want to go to this church and that church, and we have division all over the place, and I'm part of that problem as well. And God calls us out through Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. Look, agree with one another, help one another, point each other to Jesus Christ. So I ask you this question, whose glory are you about? Well, that hits, doesn't it? That just slaps. Whose glory are you about? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Literally, we're so prideful so often as people are like, well, I earned this. I did that. I mean, it wasn't too long ago I was telling you about a friend of mine that didn't want me to mow his lawn. Just so prideful, right? I get prideful too. You know what happened the other day? I came out to my car and there was an envelope on my windshield with a beautiful note in it, so encouraging, and some money for us. And immediately I was like, gosh, I don't even need it right now. I was just so humbled by that. And we're able to be faithful with that money, and we're able to be like generous with that money. But you know what? I do need stuff. I don't necessarily need money right now and all that, but I need life. I need focus, and God keeps calling me to that. And I know he's calling you as well. And so I encourage you right now, in this moment, whose glory are you about? Think about that. Are you about yours, about others, or are you about God's? And what do you have that you didn't receive? I don't have anything apart from Christ. You know, a friend of mine said, Aaron, this whole thing with you on TV here or whatever on the screen, you look nervous. I am. This isn't normal for me. I don't love this. I'm not that big a deal. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have anything to offer you guys. And you really wouldn't have anything to offer anybody else either. But I'm not without Jesus. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says it really, really well. So I'll just read this for you. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. That's powerful. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I want to move on, and it brings me to a point that I know that I've said over and over again, and I pray that I say it over and over again until I die, and then I get to say it over and over again for eternity with God in his presence. God alone is glorified. God alone. He's the one to be glorified. I encourage you, make much of him. It's about him. And you're about to find out in God's word that when we're weak, that allows us to make more of him. Any wisdom or accomplishments that you and I have are a gift from God. Anything you've accomplished, any wisdom that you have, any abilities that you are able to do things with is a gift from God. How beautiful is that? How humbling is that? Are you ready for that? And so Paul breaks this down, and he breaks down what true wisdom is in a really powerful way in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. I want to read that to you. I'm not going to really unpack it a ton, but I want you to see that he talks about what true wisdom is, and it's way different than what this world says, and maybe even way different than what you think. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Those who are apart from God, dying apart from him, think that the cross is stupid. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Now, where's the one who's wise, Paul says? Where's the scribe? Where's the law expert? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So what the world thought was folly, God used to save them. C.S. Lewis, in his lifetime, came to understand that he loved myths and he could learn a lot from myths, but he thought that Jesus was a myth that you couldn't learn anything from. And his friend, Tolkien, said to him, look, this is the one myth that's true. Jesus really did die and really did rise from the dead. And that helped change everything for C.S. Lewis. What about for you? The folly of God laying down his life? You know why it bugs so many of us? Because we wouldn't do it like that. But we're not him. He is. We're in him. And we are no longer perishing if we believe that he is who he is. All right. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, hearing God's voice, both Greeks and Jews. I love this. He's saying everybody, by the way, Jews and Greeks, separating the world just in two groups, Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's who Jesus is. Called to him, you have the power and the wisdom of God in Jesus. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what you think is foolish, what you think is unwise, what you think is weak about God is better than anything that we have to offer. So I'm going to remind you again, God alone is to be glorified. God alone. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. You were humble. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Well, God, you had to pick me. I'm Justin Bieber. You had to pick me. I'm Mayor Russell Weeda. Just kidding. I mean, I love you, Russell. But the idea here is that it's not because you're so amazing, but that God's so amazing. And he takes the things that are weak to shame those that are strong, and the things that are foolish to shame those that are wise. So nobody can boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, Who saved who? Jesus saved us. So, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Praise God for this. Come on, bring this home for you. I want to encourage you. We're looking all the way through four chapters this morning. I've only really spent time, a little bit of time, in two. And so I want to bring it to you. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus and him alone. Build your life on Jesus. And there's a beautiful, wonderful passage on this that really impacts us in ways that I could never ever do on my own. It's in 1 Corinthians 3, and it's 5 through 11. Remember this whole idea of people choosing, look, I want Paul, I want Apollos, I want Cephas, I just want what I want. Well, Paul unpacks this for saying what the real foundation is. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. It's all about God. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Oh, this is so good. God gives the water, God gives the seed, and he blesses people to be able to do something with it, but it's all about God who does it. For we are God's fellow workers. What a miracle that is. You are God's field, God's building. You are being worked on while you're actually working on others as well. God is so amazing. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Look, it's been really common for me that people either love the way I teach or don't. I've had people that I love very much that think I'm a nice guy, wonderful guy, but they gotta go to a different church because there's better teaching and better preaching. I get it, I agree. I also know that God has given me what he's given me and I'm giving it back to him and to others. What are you doing? Are you building on you and your brand? Are you spending thousands of dollars, thousands of hours, lots of anxiety about what people think about you? Or is your identity found in Christ? If this coronavirus, this pandemic, this absolute lockdown hasn't caused you to rethink what you find as your importance, what you find as your identity, I don't know what will. Look, they said there's going to be more divorces now than before. I say in Jesus' name, more people are going to fall deeper in love with Jesus and serve others as well. And that they would find that it isn't their husband or their wife or their kids or their jobs or anything else that gives them life, but only God. So how and what should we do with this? Here you go. First, give glory to Jesus. Give glory to Jesus. He deserves it, and you need to give it to him. Next, consider others before yourself. So give glory to Jesus. Consider others before yourself. And finally, reconcile with those from whom you're divided. Look, Paul calls people, be united in Jesus Christ. If you're divided from people who don't know Jesus, but you do know Jesus, because you are a Christ follower, go right now and reconcile with them. If you're divided because of Jesus, that won't happen. You won't be reconciled, but you can still love them and you can help them. But if you are divided from people, reconcile with them. Show the power and the love of Jesus. I want to remind you of two things. Wisdom gifts, accomplishments. They're not just for you. And even if things are painful, even if things are most difficult, will you love like Jesus? Let me pray with you, and then I'll let you go. I sure miss you guys. I miss seeing people face to face. I look forward to that day when that happens. But more than anything, I look forward to people loving and following Jesus, even right now, especially right now. The world needs it. Look, trust God. If you're gonna boast, don't boast in all the things that you do well and all the things that people think are amazing about you. Boast in Jesus. Trust in him. Let's pray. God, I wanna thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that for the many people who are watching hours and hours of movies and that have a hard time just spending an hour in worship and hearing God's word, I pray that they would actually start to see that flip for them. They would be more and more excited about you and less excited about entertainment. God, we know that we need you. Our own bodies tell us, our own lives tell us, what we have of any value is a gift from you. So may we live for you. May we glorify you. May we be others focused. And God, may we reconcile where we need to reconcile. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for us. I love you so much. I love celebrating you. I love bringing good news. I love that you and your kingdom last forever. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, God bless you. I love you. I miss you. For all of you who are joining us brand new, Jesus loves you. Don't ever forget it. God bless you. Bye-bye.